Shalom Mishpocha, Shalom family. Mishpocha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart. Made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, the middle wall of separation has come down, and we have become one new man in Messiah. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest ram's horn in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And my guest this week, if he doesn't make you red hot for the Messiah, there's not much hope for you. His name is Bill Weiss. He's hand-picked by Jesus because his life, he never took drugs, he never drank, he was never involved in the New Age. He's been a Christian most of his life. His credentials are impeccable. We've checked it out with his pastor. We've checked out with his friends. And he found himself on November 23rd, 1998, at 3 a.m. in the morning. He literally found himself going down in hell. Jesus took away the memory that he was a believer when he was in hell because he wanted him to experience what happens to people that end up in hell. And Bill, I don't think you will ever forget the screaming that you heard of people suffering in hell. Tell me about that.
No, you're right. I'll never forget that screaming. It just stays with me forever now. The torments of the people in agony, in the fire, just burning continually. It was terrible to experience this, even seeing it. I did not myself get thrown into the fire. I felt the heat of of hell, but that alone was horrible. But to see that, now I just want to get out and share the gospel with people so that they don't have to go there.
Tell me the love that you experienced when Jesus rescued you from hell.
Well, he revealed, I believe, a piece of his heart of how much he loves people. He does not want anyone to go there.
My understanding is the whole purpose of hell was for demons, not for humans.
Right. Matthew 25:41 says he has made hell for the devil and his angels, not for man. And so he does not want anyone to go there, and he wants people to know how much he loves people. It hurts him to see even one person fall into hell. And I felt the pain that he felt. Just he allowed me to feel a little bit of it, and it was overwhelming. I couldn't even take it. I asked him to stop for him to reveal that much of the love he has. I couldn't take it. His love is so far past our ability to love that it's overwhelming. And he did allow me to experience what he felt, a little bit of it. And to see people dropping into hell one after another, is terrible. And he's given us a voice, and he's left it to the Christians to go and tell people the way out. There is a way out, and it's just Jesus. You have to receive Jesus. That's the only way of staying out of that.
Now, did he indicate to you whether he'll be coming back soon or not?
He just told me twice. He said, tell them I am coming very, very soon.
You know, in the scripture, when you hear something twice, that means it's a settled fact.
Yes, and then he repeated himself again and said, tell them. And he said it sterner. Tell them I am coming very, very soon. And I wish I would have asked him then, like, what soon? To you, Lord. But you just don't have that kind of arrogance in his presence.
Did you see any reaction when he came to rescue you of the demons in hell to him?
I just, in observing the demons, when I was with him, all of a sudden those demons that looked so ferocious and strong just appeared like ants on the wall to me. They looked so helpless in the presence of the Lord. And I thought, Lord, they have nothing. And he said, all you have to do is cast them out in my name.
Does this give you a greater degree of confidence when what is happening in the invisible realm when you use the name of Jesus?
It does. It really does. If we as Christians would only realize the authority he's given us in his name. What an honor that is, that we can use his name. But the demons are totally subject to his name. They have to bow their knee and be gone. So I realize that being in his presence more than I did in just seeing it in the Word. It became really alive to me.
Now, when you were getting ready to go back into your body, what did you observe?
Well, as coming back, I saw myself laying on the floor in our house. I could see right through our roof, and which amazed me. And I saw myself, and I thought, that's not me. This is the real me. The man I was in, the spirit man, was the real me, because that life looks so temporal, so short, like a vapor, like it says in James 4, life is but a vapor. And when I saw my body, I came up to my body. At this time, the Lord's still with me. And I was at perfect peace. When I entered into my body, I came back in, like something pulled me back in. Well, then the Lord left. And when he left, that's when the pain and the torment came back in my mind. I didn't realize at that point that I was back. I thought I was still in hell because of the torments were so terrifying. I understood that my body was dying. And I was screaming. My wife says I was screaming when I came back in my body, and she prayed over me for quite a long time until I became aware that I was back, and I asked her to please ask the Lord to take the torment out of my mind because I'm dying. The physical body can't take that much horror.
So were you literally screaming?
Yes, which is really unusual for me. I'm a very reserved, quiet person, and it takes a lot for me to get real emotional. Other than getting excited for the Lord. But when she heard me screaming, she knew something was seriously wrong and didn't know what it was. She just prayed. And God graciously took it out of my mind.
I'll tell you what. We called her at her office to get her reaction when she heard you screaming and she ran to you. Let's have that interview right now with his wife, Annette. I have Annette Weiss on the telephone. I'm speaking to her at her work in Orange County, California. Annette, 3:30 in the morning, an outrageous time, you come down and you see your husband. Tell me exactly what you saw on November 23rd, 1998.
I awoke actually to screams coming down our hallway. I was asleep in our bed, and I turned to my right to see if Bill was there. Of course, first, and then with him not being there, I was kind of groggy, and I walked down to the living room where I heard the screams, and I found Bill there in a fetal position, grasping the sides of his head with his hands, and he was screaming, "I feel like I'm going to die," and I was just really shocked, and I thought he was having a heart attack.
So, what did you do next?
I, of course, immediately said, "What's wrong?" And Bill screamed out, "The Lord took me to hell. Pray for me. Pray for me that this fear will go from my mind."
That sounds crazy. Did you think your husband had lost it?
No, actually, I didn't, Sid. I know that sounds strange, but knowing Bill and knowing his character, he's very even-tempered. He's very consistent, steady as she goes by his nature. So I was really shocked when I saw him in this traumatized state, but I don't know why. I had a peace, you know, when I heard him say what he said, I actually had a sign of relief inside of me because I knew he wasn't having a medical emergency. So I just began to pray.
Bill, after that traumatic experience, out of curiosity, how long did it take you before you started telling people about this experience?
Well, I only told my mother and a close friend about 2 weeks later, and then no one else. And it took 3 months before I told my pastor, and only because he asked me. He came to me and he said, "Bill, I just feel that you've gone through something traumatic in your life. I was praying about you, and I just felt like the Lord revealed to me you've gone through something. Could you share it with me?" So then I told him. But outside of that, I didn't tell anyone because, you know, and people are going to think you're crazy, you know, just had a bad dream. And also, to even put it in words, the horror of hell is very difficult to even explain to somebody. So I just thought, I'll just use this as a motivation for me to witness, but I don't need to tell them really what happened to me.
How long did you deal with the trauma of what you went through before you were free?
Well, it took a whole year for me to calm down from this experience and kind of become like normal in a sense. Again, that whole year I was just, I wanted to witness to everybody. I was just like, just so on fire to get the word out, and which is a good thing. But it needed to settle down, because I would even get at times irritated with people, because people would shun it and say, I don't believe in that heaven stuff or hell or God or anything. And you get frustrated because you know what the word says and you know where they're going if they don't listen. So it just took a while for that to settle down in me. And
okay, Mishpocha, consider yourself challenged. I have this brand new book in my hand, 23 Minutes in Hell. It's probably the closest you'll ever come, assuming you know Jesus, to experiencing hell for yourself. But if you're like me, I need a greater passion for Jesus than I have. Greater. I want greater. And I need a greater compassion for the lost. I believe when you read this book, you'll get that. But I also believe many people that you know that either do not know Jesus, especially young people, or are lukewarm Christians, will get saved or get on fire for God. Listen, I have come to believe there is only one gear for a real Christian. It's red hot. That's not my opinion. That's Jesus' opinion in the book of Revelation. I'd rather you be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Wherever you are, I want you more on fire for God. And if you know someone that doesn't know Jesus, get this book, get a group of them, and you just multiply Bill's ministry for a donation of $15. I urge you to call or write today for one man's story about what he saw, heard, and felt in 23 Minutes in Hell for a donation of $15. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.